Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. At the conclusion of yesterday's Perek, we learned that as Shaul prophesied, he was so caught up in his spiritual activity that David escaped his notice and was able to run away, as described in the opening verse of today's chapter. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayivrach David minayot barama. David ran away from Nayot in Ramah. The text does not tell us where David went, only that in the next few words we'll see he met up with Yehonatan. Radak suggests that following the episode in Nayot, the power of the prophecy Shaul had experienced under Shmuel had rooted out the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit, from Shaul, which enabled David to return home and once again become a member in good standing of Shaul's household, although he still remained on his guard lest Shaul be seized once again by evil intent. Vayavo vayomer lifnei Yehonatan, and he came before Yehonatan, and he said, Me asiti, me avoni uma chatati lifnei avicha ki mevakeshet nafshi. What have I done? What is my sin or wrongdoing that has angered your father to the point that he seeks to take my life? Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Vayomer lo chalila, lo tamut, hine lo yaase avi davar gadol o davar katon velo yigle et ozni. Umadua yastir avi mimeni et hadavar haze, ein zot. Yonatan responded, Heaven forbid, you will not die. Behold, my father does nothing, great or small, without consulting with me. Why would my father conceal this matter from me? It is not so. It's interesting to see that at the beginning of the last perek, Yonatan was the one who was concerned that Shaul wanted to kill David, and David was a little bit reluctant to believe it. But now things have reversed, and David remains suspicious, having been the object of Shaul's attempt to kill him, and Yonatan is the one who is a little bit skeptical. Really, my father doesn't intend to kill you. And Ralbag explains that Yehonatan assumed that Shaul's previous attempts to kill David were prompted by the evil spirit. But Shaul, in his right mind, would never carry out such an intent, especially now that he had sworn to Yehonatan that he would not do such a thing. And he feels that the Ruach Ra'ah was rooted out by the experiencing of prophesying that by the experience of prophesying under Shmuel. But David, again, is a little bit harder to convince, and he swore again and said, Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes. And perhaps he said to himself, Let my son Yonatan not know of this, lest he be saddened. But I swear by Hashem, there is but a footstep between me and death. Yehonatan responded. He sees how sincerely concerned David is, so he responded, What would you like me to do? Whatever your soul desires, I shall do for you. And we see again the relationship between David and Yonatan is consistently described in terms of a relationship of the nefesh. There's a soul connection between the two of them. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Vayomer David el Yehonatan, Hine chodesh machar, Va'anochi yoshev ve'shevim ha'melech le'echol, V'shilachtani, V'nistarti basadeh ad ha'erev hashlishi. David said to Yehonatan, Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and ordinarily I sit at the king's table to eat the festive meal. Grant me leave to go and hide until the third evening of the month. If your father takes note of my absence, say to him that I asked you if I might run home to Beit Lechem for the annual feast there with my family. If he says, Fine, then all is well. But if he becomes very angry, then you will know that the evil decree is final with him. Then act kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant with you. If I am guilty of any wrongdoing, kill me yourself. Why bring me to your father? David here returns to this question with which he opened the conversation. What have I done wrong? And Yonatan's insistence that he has done nothing wrong, and his father has no intention of harming David, would bring David into danger from which he had sworn to protect David. Yonatan responded, Heaven forbid that I should endanger you. If I knew that my father was irrevocably determined against you, would I not tell you? David then said to Yonatan, Who will tell me whether your father responds favorably or if your father answers harshly? Yonatan then suggested that they go out to the field for greater privacy. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayomer Yehonatan el David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael ki echkor et avi ka'et machar hashlishit, v'hinei tovel David, ולא אז אשלח אליך וגליתי את אוזניך. יונתן said to David, Hashem, God of Israel, I will probe my father tomorrow and the next day, it was a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and behold, it will be good for David. Will I not then immediately send for you and reveal it to you? And Yonatan swore in the name of Hashem that if the news were bad, he would come himself to inform David so that he might part from him in peace if David has to escape. And he concludes with a blessing. V'hi Hashem imach ka'asher haya imavi. May Hashem always be with you as he was with my father. Meaning, may you be protected from your enemies, saved from your enemies. Followed, and he follows this with a somewhat cryptically worded request. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Velo imodeni chai, velo ta'ase imadi chesed Hashem, velo amut. Radak translates this verse as, I need not ask of you to do any special favors for me if I'm still alive when you become king, because I have no fear that you will be anything other than merciful to me. The only kindness I ask of you is that after my death, you act mercifully towards my family, and that when Hashem destroys all the enemies of David, my children be spared. From the awkwardness of these phrases, the repetition, velo, 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 and if not, it's possible to discern the difficulty of Yonatan's position. Throughout the perek, we see the reference to Shaul as Avi, and David called Avicha. There's no denying the father-son relationship. And this highlights the intensity of the conflict that Yonatan must be feeling here. He supports David's right to the kingship unwaveringly, yet he still loves and respects his father. He hopes and he prays that he can impress upon his father that David is a worthy heir to the throne. And it is poignantly obvious that while he wishes for a smooth transition, he knows that that would be painful for his father. He turns his eyes toward the future, only asking that his children be spared the usual fate of those who might challenge the right of the new king to his throne. While this is a difficult moment of truth for Yonatan, we can only be awed by his determination to send David off with his love and encouragement. David, who is about to become a fugitive, is sent off with this positive vision of himself as the future king, with the love and support of his closest friend whose throne he would be usurping. In keeping with this selfless vision, Yonatan reinforces his oath to David, for he truly loved him, ahavat nafsho, as he loved himself, or as we have explained, for the qualities of his soul. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, Vayomer lo Yonatan, machar chodesh, vinifkadta, ki paked moshavecha. Yonatan said to David, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and your absence will be noted, for your seat will be empty. This reiteration of the plan suggested initially by David constitutes Yonatan's permission for David's absence from the king's table. Rosh Chodesh was chosen as the day for the test because on any other day, David's absence might not have been remarkable. He might choose to eat at his own home. But on Rosh Chodesh, it was expected that all members of the king's household would eat at the king's table. Moreover, the experiment was designed to determine whether Shaul's single-minded pursuit of David was a function of the Ruach Ra'ah, or whether it had become a permanent fixture in Shaul's mind. The Ruach Ra'ah would not function on a festive day such as Rosh Chodesh, so if Shaul expressed anger toward David even then it would be clear that his anger was not limited to the influence of the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit. This pasuk, Machar Chodesh, marks the beginning of the section of this perek that is read as the Haftarah on a Shabbat when Rosh Chodesh falls on Sunday. Hence, Machar Chodesh, the announcement, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk Yudtet, verse 19, V'shilashta tered me'od uvata el ha'makom asher nistarta sham biyom ha'ma'aseh v'yashavta etzel ha'even ha'azel. Yonatan continued, for 3 days, hide yourself very well, and come on the third day to the place where you hid on the day of the incident, Biyom HaMa'aseh, and sit opposite Ha'even HaAzel, which was a large boulder that served as a road marker. So Rashi explains the term Yom HaMa'aseh to refer to the day after Rosh Chodesh, upon which work would be resumed, as Rosh Chodesh was not a work day. But many commentators explain that it refers to the day of Shaul's attack upon David, when he threw the spear at him and it struck the wall and David escaped. David fled and hid in a certain place in the field that Yonatan knew about. Va'ani shloshet achitzim tzida ore lishalach li lematara. And I will shoot three arrows in that direction, said Yonatan, to the side of where you're hiding, as if I'm shooting at a target. And then I will send an attendant to recover the arrows. If I say to him, Hine hachitzim mimcha vahena, behold, the arrows are right before you, right in front of you, then you yourself may come out of your hiding place and gather the arrows, feeling assured of your safety. But if I say to him, Hine hachitzim mimcha vahala, behold, the arrows are far beyond you, then flee, for that will be the signal that Hashem has sent you away. But that which we have agreed between us before Hashem will stand forever. According to Malbim, there are two elements to the code that Yonatan devised here. The first is the terms that are used to describe the location of the arrows, whether vahena or vahala, here, close to you, or vahala, far beyond. And the second is the term used to describe the attendant. In the first case, if Yonatan feels that his father does not harbor ill will towards David, and it's safe for him to return, he'll send a na'ar to retrieve the arrows. If he feels that David's life is in danger, he will send an elem. And while both terms mean a youth, the first, na'ar, is more general, while elem is associated with alacrity, swiftness, thus hinting that David should flee swiftly, run away, immediately, for Shaul is in pursuit. And he explains the three arrows as an analogy for Lashon Hara, slander, which causes harm to three people, the speaker, the listener, and the subject of the slander. The test was carried out as planned on the following day. David hid in the field while the king's household assembled at his table for the Rosh Chodesh feast. The king sat in his usual place against the wall with Avner and Yonatan on either side of him, and David's place remained empty. On that first day, Shaul said nothing, for he assumed that David had a good reason for not being present. But on the second day, when David's seat remained empty, he said to his son Yonatan, and again, we see here the stress on the paternal relationship, how hard this must have been for Yonatan. Why has the son of Yishai not arrived, neither yesterday nor today? We see Shaul adopts a derogatory tone towards David here. He calls him Ben Yishai, rather than calling him David, which would have been a sign of affection towards one who was, after all, he's his son-in-law. And Yonatan responded, he asked me if he could join his family for their feast in Beit Lechem, and I agreed, and that's why he hasn't come to the king's table. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Vayichar af Shaul bi Yonatan, Vayomelo, Ben Na'vat Hamardut, Halo Yadati ki bocher ata leven Yishai levoshtecha u levoshet ervati mecha. And Shaul became angry with Yonatan, saying, you son of a pervertedly rebellious woman, I knew you would choose the son of Yishai to your own detriment and the shame of your family. Ki chol hayamim asher ben Yishai chay al ha'adama, lo tikon ata umalchutecha, ve'ata shlach vekach oto elai, ki ben mavetu. For all the days that the son of Yishai lives on this earth, you and your kingdom will not be established. Now go and bring him to me, for he is deserving of death. And Yonatan responded, trying one last time to reconcile his father to his beloved friend. Pasuk Lamed Bet 32, Vayya'an Yonatan et Shaul aviv vayomer elav, Lama yumat ube asa? Why should he die? What has he done? And Shaul raised his spear to strike Yonatan, and Yonatan knew that his father had determined to kill David. Yonatan left the table in a fury and did not partake of any food on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, for he was saddened over David and because his father had humiliated him. Mishbitzot Zahav cites Rav Moshe David Vali, who notes that Yonatan saw that it was his father as his true self who had determined to kill David, not only when he was under the influence of the Ruach Ra'ah, which, as we mentioned earlier, would not have functioned on a festive day. Thus, Yonatan understood that the danger to David was real and immediate. In the morning, Yonatan went out to the field to his appointed meeting place with David, and he brought a young boy with him. And Yonatan sent the boy to run after the arrows he shot and called to him, Halo hachetzi mimcha vahala! Is not the arrow beyond you? Hurry! Don't just stand there! And the boy collected the arrows and brought them back to Yonatan, not suspecting anything. Only Yonatan and David understood the matter. Yonatan gave his equipment to the boy and instructed him to carry it back to the city, and Yonatan remained behind. Once the boy had gone, and it was clear that no one was around, David emerged from his hiding place and bowed three times to Yonatan. They kissed one another in parting, each crying, and David cried exceedingly. Yonatan said to David, "Go in peace. That which we have sworn to one another in the name of Hashem, that there will be peace between us and our descendants, will remain forever." Dr. Mendel Hirsch, in his commentary on the Haftarot, based on the teachings of his father, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, wrote that in this chapter, we see the true greatness of Yonatan, not as a warrior, Gibor Milchama, but as a noble prince who knows that his friend is his rival, destined by God to be the successor to the throne that otherwise would come to him, but nevertheless takes him in true friendship, takes his part and saves him from the persecution of his royal father. We see in him the greatness of soul, the loftiness of his feelings, the nobility of character and courage shown even during the premonition of the saddest fate. None among our heroes attained the height of Yonatan. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui nishmot imhotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, aleha ha-shalom, and Sarah Schenker, aleha ha-shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.